It's Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar here on the program. Now joining us, Sportsnet NHL Insider, Hockey Night in Canada, and 31 Thoughts podcast. Elliot Friedman, a presentation of Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view is better from here. Elliot, you upset everybody on Twitter with the helmet stickers and the advertisements.
I did. What are they really complaining about this?
Yeah, hockey Twitter is not happy that advertisements are making its way onto the NHL jersey scene.
Oh, I might not be the only. I think there's going to be more. I think they're looking at some more things this year, not jerseys, but I think this year they're going to try some things. I believe they just feel that. And the interesting thing about it is all these helmet deals, Dan, they're one-year deals. They're basically just doing it for this year to see what the metrics are, what the exposure is, what they feel the market is. You also don't want to lock into long-term deals when everything's bottoming out due to COVID. So I would just say to people that the horse is out of the barn, and unless you can outrun and wrestle a horse, you better get used to it.
Well, I've heard you say on the 31 Thoughts, and we've had a couple other reporters come on our station the last 2 days here talking about how some of these deals are make goods, right? So how is the league fulfilling their contractual obligations, or are they just kind of gauging the revenue potential out of these?
I think it's a lot from column A and it's a lot from column B, Vic, because I think what they're going to do is they're going to use the information they get from doing it this year to see what the interest is and where that's going to go moving forward. But also, as you talk about, you've got to make good to your sponsors. Like, for example, the way the helmet ads are going to work is you're going to be allowed to have two, one at home and one on the road, and you're going to be able to have one for your practice helmets too. Basically, what it's being offered to primarily is a lot of your major foundation sponsors. Like if you saw the one I put out today on my Twitter, and evidently everybody out there did, because as Dan says, they're all mad about it. Prudential sponsors the Devils Rink. So that is obviously a major foundational sponsor for the Devils. So whatever the Devils aren't getting out of their rink, they'll get as part of the helmet, or Prudential will. And, you know, I'm trying to call around and figure out, and somebody told me that the kind of stuff they're going to do with the helmets is going to save the league probably around $90 million. It's probably going to recoup about that kind of money that they otherwise might owe to a sponsor, or as Vic used, make good to a sponsor. So it's obviously worth it. And I think you're going to see some other things. I think you're going to, like you saw last year when the seats were empty or nobody was in them, they had ads on the seats, like in terms of, I guess, what do they call it? The tarp seat covers. I think they're looking at some expanded signage. I think they're looking at some wrap along the sides. And I think they're also looking at some other virtual ads that they might use for this year too. The virtual ads are not finalized yet. They're still talking about it, but this is all stuff they're going to try this year, A, to make good, and B, to for the future, because I think you're going to see a huge emphasis on increasing the revenue around the sport.
Before we continue on hockey, did you have the Bengals money line last night?
I did not. I did bet on the Jets. Somebody told me that if I would have bet the Jets and the Bengals money line, I would have won like $20,000. But I did not. I did bet the Jets, but I did not have the stones to bet the Bengals.
Elliot, I got to tell you, every week, you know, friends and we'll always, you know, hockey fans will message me and be like, "Hey, you got to ask Elliot about this," and it's always, you know, Canucks related. This week or since Sunday, it was completely about the Jets and Bengals. It's like you got to talk to Elliot about the Jets and Bengals. How did he conclude to bet on the Jets?
You know, I got to tell you, the reason I picked the Jets was, you know, they had been playing not badly lately. And I have Darnold in my fantasy football pool. Like my quarterbacks, I traded Tannehill this year for a first round pick. And then I had Burrow and he got hurt. And then I had Mullins and he was not playing great. So, and I didn't, as I've talked about on this show, Dan, I didn't want to throw the league. Like, I don't like that. I don't like when people tank. And so I kept on looking for quarterbacks that I could start, because in our league this year you have to start two. So I grabbed Darnold when he came back, and he'd been playing not bad. And as you know, they've been close. They blew that game against the Raiders. And I got to tell you, aside from Aaron Donald, I am not big on the Rams. I just think they're overrated. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. Once in a while, you simply have to say, what the bleep, and try something a little bit different. And that's it was kind of an educated hunch. I wasn't really sure this was going to happen, but I just believed that there was a week to take a shot at them. I just believed this was it.
I'm glad we had this talk, because now we know when you eventually become an NHL general manager, you're against tanking. So this is good intel to keep for the future.
Yeah, if I ever become a general manager, which I won't, there might be times I support tanking, but I didn't agree with the throwing of the pool that some people were doing this year until I gave him a taste of his own medicine at the end of the season.
I hear you on that. Elliot Friedman, our guest. So if you were to bet on the Canucks to play in Vancouver this season, is that a solid bet in your eyes?
No, I wouldn't. Look, I think it's possible, Dan, they play in Vancouver this season. But the question is when. And I think there's a lot of balls in the air. You know, look, like the way that the BC government feels, the NHL is well aware of it. We know what happened last summer. You were supposed to get a hub and didn't at the last minute. I don't think the NHL is surprised by this. Frustrated, yes. Surprised, no. I don't think so. I think the Canucks players have been told a couple of things. I think they've been told about the possibility of starting the year in Edmonton and playing in that building. I think they've been told about the possibility of starting the year on a road trip. I think they've been told that they hope that the Canucks will start at the beginning of the year there, but they don't know for sure. And the thing about Edmonton is, could that be, quote unquote, their home arena for a while, or could it be a hub if there's multiple provinces that can't play in their own arenas? And right now, the other two they're kind of wondering about are Ontario and Quebec. So I think it's up in the air, but I do think the Canucks players have been told, first by the Players Association, and now probably by, I assume, the Canucks themselves, that there are other options here. Man, I had one person try to tell me that the Canucks were going to play in Saskatoon. Like, I don't think that that's likely, but, you know, that I just think that every possible scenario has been thrown out there, and the goal is for the league to have the team playing in Vancouver as soon as possible. But the players have been told that there are backup plans, and one is a road trip, and one is playing in Edmonton.
How late can they push this? So we're sitting here on December 22nd, and just over 3 weeks, or just under 3 weeks, till the puck is intended to drop. Can they push this till like January 10th, January 11th, or is it something that as soon as the schedule comes out, that's when it is?
I wonder if we might know, have an idea. Like, the schedules are supposed to come out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one thing is, I know that there's a lot of adaptation there. Like, there's the schedule we'll see tomorrow, and there's probably a billion other schedules they've been working on there. Like, I wonder if we'll look at Vancouver and Edmonton's schedule and we'll say, okay, they've specifically kept them kind of away from each other so that they know that they can, you know, bring Vancouver in there if they have to right away. The one thing that the NHL has always told me is, during this process, we will wait as long as possible to make a decision, if we can. So I believe they will wait as long as possible if they can. I wonder if we look at the schedule tomorrow and it says there's flexibility here, or if we look at it tomorrow and they say, all right, they're kind of leaning towards one decision or the other.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. Travis Green, does he have a new contract before the season starts?
I don't, like, again, we're talking like wagering. If I'm wagering right now, I would say no. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that can change with one phone call, right? And I strongly suspect the Canucks know what Green thinks in terms of what his market is. And I suspect that Green knows what the Canucks think his market is. And we'll see how close it is. I do believe they want him to be the long-term head coach of the team. I think they're big believers in Green. I've said this before. I think Green and Benning understand each other, have a good relationship, and are on the same page. I think that Green has a belief in what he's worth, and I think the Canucks have an agreement, a belief in what he's worth. Plus, also the Canucks are navigating the pandemic and the effect that has on, you know, things that you can do financially. So I would assume, my guess is probably not before the season, but that doesn't mean to me that we're in a situation where, you know, like that means the end of the world. I just think the biggest decision is if they don't have it before the season, do they punt it and say, we're not talking about it during the year?
In regards to the pandemic related financial state, obviously a couple of signings today and suddenly people in Vancouver look at and say, well, if Ferland goes on LTIR, the Canucks can dip their toe in the free agent market. Is that something that's likely to you, that the Canucks would jump back in to sign someone, or is it more likely that they stand pat with what they have?
I would say until there's clarity on Ferland, they're going to stand pat. That's what my guess is. Until there's clarity on that, they stand pat, and then we'll see. I don't know. The one thing I do believe is I do think the Canucks would like to take a look at some of their guys. I do think they'd like to see some of the kids, and because they're at the point where you probably have to start making decisions on some of them, and I think they'd like to know what they have. So my guess is that what you're seeing now is probably going to be pretty close to what you see when the season starts. Now, you never know. Somebody could fall into their lap. They could decide to do something. But my general intel right now is it doesn't sound like there's an incredible desire to add, is what I would say.
We saw the Canucks go after Toffoli last year and made a lot of moves last offseason. They really wanted to put their best foot forward and make that push towards the playoffs. And now they've been a lot quieter. Obviously, the financial landscape has changed quite a bit, and some things have happened that are out of their control. But this Canadian division, potentially, you know, one Canadian team is getting to a Final Four spot. It's kind of hard to be like, hey, let's commit to some young guys here when you have a real chance. I think almost every Canadian team outside of Ottawa probably thinks this could be our year to make a run in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I understand. Like, the toughest thing is to take a step backwards, right?
Yeah.
And you guys are coming off a season where you won two rounds, and one of them was a very impressive against the defending Stanley Cup champions. Like, I get it. In Canada, it's hard to take a step back because you're sitting here, you're saying, you know, we got to game 7 against Vegas, although the ice was kind of tilted towards the end of it. And, you know, you're like, we can't go backwards. It's not worth it to go backwards. And I get it. What I really think is that, look, you've got two guys who you're going to have to sign and take care of for a long time. The salary cap, or as long as you can. Salary cap isn't going anywhere the next few seasons. It's going to stay the same. I know how a lot of your market has felt about some of the signings it's made in the past down the roster. I just think the Canucks are going to be careful. And plus, look, like, I think the finances matter. Like, you know, you're still right near the cap. It's not like you guys are not spending, but there's a lot of teams in this league right now that are looking at it and saying, you know, we've got to be careful with our capital expenditures because we don't know what's going to happen here. So I think that, you know, I just think that they're going to look at it to start and say, this is what we're going to begin with, and we're going to kind of see where it goes, and we're going to adjust from there. And I think that is the path the Canucks have decided to take. Like I said, you could always surprise me tomorrow with some big move, and I'll come on and say, boy, I wasn't expecting that. But from what I'm hearing just around, I don't get a sense there's a tremendous eagerness for the Canucks to change dramatically from what they've got right now.
In the spirit of kind of judging what you have internally, it is a different season. I'm not saying I necessarily agree if this is the plan, but if you could just approach this and say, hey, we can evaluate our guys for 25 games because of a certain season. And if we're in the mix, then we can go in and add, and, you know, teams' motivations change. And if we need a depth D-man, it might be a different cost at, say, the trade deadline than it would be right now. Is that something, is that a way that they could look at it and say, hey, our guys, our young guys are better than we thought they were, or worse than we thought they were? Is using the front half of the season kind of just an evaluation plan, and maybe they make up the difference on the end?
Maybe. You know, I think the thing is, Dan, is that it's such a tough year. Like, with only 56 games, if you get off to a bad start, I mean, it's a disaster. You know, three teams from this division are not going to make the playoffs. There's no wild card. There's no crossover or anything like that. You kind of know it. Like, you cannot afford to start badly. I just think, look, like, you know, you've got to find out what you have and got at. You have to find out what you have in him and just kind of, you know, go from there and give the guy a role so you know. You know, I look at, you know, Uelevi. He's another guy. At some point in time, you have to figure out what you've got there. You know, like Chatfield, Rafferty. I just think that at some point in time, you've got to take all of these players and say, all right, let's see what we have. And I think and all of them have the contracts up too. So you've got to make decisions. I think the other thing is, and you know, cap space is going to become even more important after this year. Because like I said, the cap isn't going to go up. Look at the guys you have coming off your cap after this year. Their contracts, some of them that you guys have tried to move. Plus, you're going to have to deal with Pettersson and Hughes. So I just think that your organization has decided, look, we've still got a good team. Like every Canadian team has a flaw. I look at some. I think some of those teams are better than others, but I don't see any one of those teams being anywhere close to perfect. And I think you guys look at yourself with the top core you have and say, you know, like, we can compete. Now, do you have holes? Yes, you guys have holes. There's no question about it. But you're hoping that internally some of these guys can show you something. And then if you're in the race, yes, Dan, you do it later. And although this is going to be one crazy trade time, if you're trading across the border and a guy has to do a 14-day quarantine, I just think the Canucks have decided, looking at their contract situations and the financial reality of the world, we're going to find out about some of these people we have to make decisions on. And you know what? Who's to say that, you know, some of the guys who are UFAs, you know, they look at the landscape and say, I'm happy to stay in Vancouver for a lot less.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. The Nikita Kucherov, how serious is the injury? Because now that they signed Eric Chernak, I'm looking at their cap situation and I'm like, man, if Kucherov at any point becomes available, they're going to be in quite the bind.
Well, I heard that initially this was reported overseas, and I heard about it and I checked it and I told there was some truth to it, that they were looking at a deal with Detroit where Tyler Johnson would go there for Zetterberg's long-term injury. And I was told that's not happening anymore because they have another solution. And I went to look at that. I tried to figure out what the solution is, and I was told it was Kucherov. And so we'll see. Like, I mean, the fact that they signed Chernak and Ruda today, and they signed Sergachev, we're in a situation here where they know what they're dealing with. And if Kucherov is out, I think, Dan, it's a significant amount of time. If he has surgery, it's going to be a while, to the point where it'll give them plenty of time to sort it out. So, and I got to tell you, I heard that Johnson for Zetterberg thing is probably not happening anymore. So it says to me that they know they've got something else. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Kucherov's health, which is too bad because he's a hell of a player.
We saw some rule changes today offside. I've seen a lot of conversation of they haven't necessarily cleared this up
What?
To me, it did feel like it's more obvious, but some people are talking about it on Twitter. You know how that goes. That it feels like they've left this to some levels of ambiguity still. I feel like it's cleared up, but maybe I'm just misreading.
What ambiguity?
I think people just are looking at this like the language maybe isn't perfect, and you still might see some issues crop up. The way I read it, it felt like I understood it, but I think some people are still confused on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds to me like an English comprehension issue, to be perfectly honest. Like it's a plane now. It's like you watch the NFL, it's like a touchdown. You get the ball over the line, do you break the plane, it's a touchdown. Do you break the plane, it's offside or not offside. To me, it's about time we did this. And to be honest, I know that one of the reasons that they really fought against it in the past was they were worried about injuries, like guys having their skates up. But, you know, I ultimately you're trying to make your game better, and I think this makes the game better.
Before we let you go, Micah on our text line says, Elliot might say he won't be a GM, but he should be. What an asset to an organization he would be.
That's a nice thing for them to say, and the check is, well, the Interact transfer is on the wire.
Yeah. And by the way, thank you for the photo that will now be the most memed photo in hockey Twitter for 2021.
Is that the Paul Mary one? Like people are going to be putting things
no,
on it?
No, the phone.
You.
Oh, me on the phone. Oh, my God. So I got to tell you. So did you see the ad that they released today, the TV ad?
Yes.
Okay. So I was driving, so I couldn't look at it. But my wife saw it, and so she started watching it, and she started laughing. She was like, she could not stop laughing at that thing. And then my son was like, turn that off. So I can tell you this, my wife and son weren't a big fan of the TV ad either. I you know, it's all in good fun. Like, that's the thing. Like people were texting me yesterday, like, people are killing you on Twitter, and Tim and Sid are doing this big thing. And I just said, this year has sucked so bad that if that picture of me gets people ripping me and having a good time together on social media, I am all for it.
Yeah, it's good for a few laughs. Some of the replies were pretty great. Thanks, Elliot. We appreciate it as always. Have a happy holiday season, and we'll be talking more hockey soon.
All right, guys. What a much better interview this was than the usual Tuesday nights, I have to say.
We definitely agree. Hear, hear. Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care.